We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining us on a Friday here on The Dom Show. And what better way than to talk about everything that's happened this week then to bring Scott Adams on, Dilbert, among other things, and the best-selling author of Win Bigly, his new book, Loser Think. Hey, Scott, thanks for joining us in Philadelphia.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Scott, before I get to the title, Loser Think, you're a guy who makes news. People just can't get enough of going after you on something. So I saw that you talked about the tweeting and some of the typos of President Trump. Give us an idea of what you said and what you meant by that and why people are attacking.
Well, the question was, what did I think about President Trump's typos in his
yes.
tweets? And I was making the point that that tells the reader that he sent it himself. And that makes you feel more connected and it feels more authentic. And you think, well, that's what the president actually thinks. If you knew that that was going through handlers, you wouldn't feel the same. You'd feel like you had some distance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a leader who's trying to get people, you know, on your side, that little bit of closing the gap and being close to them looks real authentic. And I don't think anybody, you know, elected him for his spelling.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a pretty apparent thing, that's a point you were making. But boy, I just say the overkill around that. So let me ask you, when you came from things like Dilbert and you're a best-selling author, books like Loser Think, I'm sure will do really well, why swerve a bit into politics here? I don't remember pre-Trump hearing your commentary on that. What happened?
It was entirely accidental.
Mm-hmm.
I was blogging at the time on just any topic.
Right.
And when the president, when he was a candidate, I wrote a blog post pointing out that based on my experience as a trained hypnotist and someone who studied the ways of persuasion for years, I could see that he had a toolbox that was just more powerful than the other folks. And I wrote about that. And I was really just writing about his technique. I wasn't supporting him or anything like that. But there was such a market for that I did more of it. And because I was saying good things about his technique, I became associated with that side, even though my politics is sort of all over the map. So that was, of course, very expensive. I lost probably a third of my income and three quarters of my friends with that.
For your friends, now wait a minute, the income we get, people don't know you and all that, but how could friends that know you're eclectic, I know that from you, and it's not the type of guy that's going to impose any of this on anybody, what's their rationale why they wouldn't be friends anymore?
Well, I assume that it has to do with the fact that they think I'm supporting somebody who is so bad that there's just no excuse for supporting him. I guess it's something like that, but I'm speculating.
Let me ask you a question I have toward the end, but I might forget it when we talk directly about Loser Think. Are you a fan of The Office? Are you a big fan of The Office doing Dilbert and everything else? Do you think they nailed it?
Well, that was a different kind of show where they were not trying to show what really happens in offices.
Right.
It was just a setting for a generic comedy. But it was great. I mean, I loved it a lot.
What is Loser Think now? Why that title for this latest book from Scott Adams?
So Loser Think is a word I made up to describe a situation where even smart people may have some gaps in how they think if they haven't been exposed to different domains. So, for example, you could be the greatest artist alive and very smart, but you might not have heard of, just to give one example, the idea of sunk costs that an economist would know. And a sunk cost means that you've spent your money already and it shouldn't influence your next decision because that money's gone. But an artist might say, well, I'm using my common sense and I've got this much invested. I don't want to waste what I've already spent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd better, double down on whatever I was doing. So it's tidbits like that that are blind spots in a lot of people's thinking that I happen to have picked up because I have a real broad background. I've got a degree in economics. I've been an entrepreneur. I've studied persuasion, and of course, I'm in art and some other things. So there were things that I thought were obvious to me that I realized were just not obvious to other people, and not because they're not smart, but because they hadn't had the same experience.
Yeah, this is a very, that is the subtext I got from Loser Think also with Scott Adams. You reference Kanye West in this book a bit and the stuff that happened on Twitter. So tell us about Kanye West in your book.
So Kanye, I guess I came to his attention with one of my live streams, and he retweeted it a number of times, I think 9 times, different parts of it, which of course made the internet blow up, because why is he tweeting this guy? But the thing that he does that makes him notable is that he's unusually free from any kind of a bubble. There's just nothing that can hold him in. And he doesn't have any what I call cultural gravity. He doesn't feel like he's locked to the past. He feels like he can do whatever makes sense. So one of his brilliant things he said recently was, the most racist thing you could do is tell me that I should vote for one party because of my race. And he's just really good at changing the frame. And the thing I love about Kanye is he's not just a guy who creates stuff. He's just a creator. Just everything he does is sort of art. You know, his life is art almost. And just watching him operate is a joy.
Page 56 in your book intrigued me, Scott, by what I do every day, because we've talked about it. Thinking Like an Artist is the chapter. And you reference Charlottesville. And Trump again. And to me, this is one of the most obvious things what Trump was getting at there. Even if it's a bit mangled, it's there when you look at it in its entirety. What's the reference to Charlottesville?
Well, the Charlottesville situation is the president was blamed for saying that the neo-Nazis there were fine people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, if you look at the entire transcript, which people often don't, he clarified, without being asked, he clarified, no, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis. They should be condemned totally. But because that part gets lopped off, many people believe that they saw him say it, and they can't imagine that there would be any explanation otherwise. And I encourage people to understand that sometimes the problem is their own imagination. Sometimes it's not that, that's the only problem, that there are
right.
Multiple things that could fit the same set of facts, and maybe there's something you missed, maybe something was hidden from you. So just expanding your imagination, like an artist should, might make you a little less likely to take the first interpretation.
Right, because I think, and we don't know, I wish we had more evidence, there were people there to protest the statue, calm, everyday people who see it one way, and there were people there that support the history of the Robert E. Lee statue, and then there were the gangs on both sides. I don't understand why that, because that's happened at other things like this, not the gangs, but opposite sides that see it differently, that are normal people.
Well, the bad actors have been framing it as there were only
right.
people marching.
Right.
That's all there were. And indeed, and I interviewed a number of people who were there who were not marching. And they said, no, just a lot of people there for their own reasons. They all looked the same. They were dressed, you know, in normal clothes. You couldn't tell who believed what. So the president's assumption that some of them were not racist and just cared about the statues was almost certainly correct.
We're talking with Scott Adams of Dilbert fame in his new book, Loser Think. What's your favorite part of the book? We get the overall theme about expansion here. What's the favorite part of Scott Adams in this?
You know, the thing I love to say is that analogies are no good for predicting. And people who are not good thinkers use them that way. So, for example, they'll say, hey, my cat has markings under its nose that look like a little Hitler mustache, so I think my cat is going to invade Poland. It doesn't work that way. Analogies are good for explaining a new concept, but they don't predict. And you'll see, especially on social media, people saying, well, the way the president's talking about the press is just like Mussolini. So the next thing you know, he's going to be attacking another country.
You would expect to. I'm a big fan of analogies, because, and you are a creative guy, so I'm sure you like them too, but we know the limitations of it. And one analogy I would never use, or even talk about the Gestapo or anything like that. Soup Nazi was clever on Seinfeld, but even there, I'm a little bit, there's certain things that are out of the bounds of normal experience. You can't make an analogy that connects to them.
Yeah, I say the same thing about the Holocaust as I say about American slavery. There are some things that just have to sit alone. That you, anything you compare to them is almost an insult to the situation and the people affected. So I try to stay away from that.
Now, everybody here, my producers particularly, and I as a fan, what's the inspiration for Dilbert? Tell me, how do you get inspired from that? Did you work in an office? Is it a corporate thing? Where does all that come from? Do people send you stuff?
Well, for 16 years, I had the job that Dilbert has, which is a cubicle job at a big bank and then a phone company. And Dilbert's physical body was inspired by somebody I worked with. And the funny thing is, he doesn't know it.
So, no, still.
I've literally never mentioned it to him. I didn't know him that well. I always wonder if someday he's in the line at the grocery store and somebody says, "You remind me of somebody. Who is that?" I laugh when I think of that. So that was the physical inspiration. The personality of Dilbert is mostly my own. And the other characters have, my bad parts. Whatever flaws I have, I put into all the characters in different ways.
I ask guys like you who have made a breakthrough of something that's kind of a cultural icon that everybody knows. I always like to ask, because it's I want to know, and the audience does, Scott, is there a favorite, or is there a favorite topic for Dilbert that you just say, yeah, boy, I really loved that when I created that?
Well, it's always fun to write for the character of Wally, because
he's
shiftless and useless and lazy. And you can apply that to every situation, because, we're human, so every situation we're introduced to, we probably have the same recording, which is, what is the least I can do and still get away with it?
Absolutely.
So Wally does that all the
time. Hey, I used to have a cubicle. I have an office that's only like 10 by 10 now, but it's not a cubicle. So it's not quite the same thing. Do you write inside a cubicle or no?
That would probably inspire me if I did. No, I just do it in my office at my house. But a lot of people send me ideas by Twitter and other means. And those usually remind me of some experience I had, because it's tough to write about something if you don't recognize the experience.
Exactly. Well, congratulations on this book and the great work. And I hope that it's not too costly, some of the things you tweet or some of the observations you have. Loser Think with Scott Adams. Scott, thank you very much for joining us in Philadelphia.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.